Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Lee Hardman, currency analyst at MUFG. It's Monday, 2nd November 2020, and this week we're discussing the impact of the pandemic on European currencies. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. So Lee, how has the latest COVID developments changed the outlook for European currencies?
Well, it's certainly clear that over the last couple of weeks and months, there has been a sharp acceleration in the number of new cases of COVID, particularly in Europe. And we're now starting to see policymakers respond more decisively to try and suppress the spread of the virus going forward. So over the last couple of days, over the past week, we have seen a raft of new restrictions put in place across major European economies. It all started with France late last week announcing a new second lockdown. And then over the weekend here in the UK as well, the government has put in place a second lockdown for England, which these new measures are all expected to basically cover the month of November until probably early December. And it's obviously another damaging blow for businesses, particularly in the retail and leisure sectors of the economy, which had been allowed to reopen over the summer, but they'll now be going back into closure for a period of time. And that's obviously a very disruptive outcome for the economy in the fourth quarter. Obviously, parts of the economy, such as kind of construction and manufacturing, they'll be certainly less impacted by these new restrictions. But it's still a darkening outlook for Europe's economy going into the winter period. So we're certainly expecting GDP both in the Eurozone and the UK to contract again in the fourth quarter. I don't think it's going to be the kind of scale of contraction that we saw earlier this year. I think the economy is probably to some extent has adjusted to this new reality. We'll be better able to withstand this shock. But it's still going to be certainly a negative outcome for growth going into year end. So this, as we've seen, is already putting pressure on governments and also central banks in the region to provide more stimulus, to provide support for their economies over this challenging period. So even just over the weekend, the UK government was very kind of quick to respond by announcing that they've extended the jobs furlough scheme. That was due to expire, but that now will be extended to at least cover the period of lockdown that's going to take place. Similarly, we also heard as well last week from the ECB that they also provided a very strong signal that they are actively considering providing further policy stimulus at their next meeting in December. Our expectation already was that we were looking for them to expand their quantitative easing program by at least 500 billion euros. We could also see them adjusting their TLTRO program again. And as we heard from President Lagarde, she didn't rule out possibly cutting rates as well, although that's not our base case scenario. And then this week as well, we also get the Bank of England's latest policy meeting. And obviously, given what the government has announced over the weekend, expectations will increase ahead of that meeting that the Bank of England might have to announce something more aggressive in terms of stimulus. So the market was already looking for the Bank of England to extend their quantitative easing program by about 100 billion sterling this week. There's obviously a possibility that they could exceed those expectations. And I think as well, markets will want to look very closely to see what kind of commentary we get from the Bank of England over the potential for negative rates. Obviously, with the economy likely to fall back again, will that make the Bank of England think more seriously about putting in place negative rates, possibly as from early next year? So these are the kind of downside risks for the European economy and European currencies, which have certainly escalated over the last couple of weeks. And that overall is starting to make the dollar look more relatively attractive in the near term. It's helped to lift the dollar index up towards its recent highs ahead of this week's US election. And I think going forward over this winter period, it's going to be certainly more challenging for European currencies to rebound while these lockdowns are in place and providing this shock to European economies. And obviously for the pound as well, the other kind of factor which people have been looking at is the latest Brexit developments. That's always been seen as a potential upside risk for the pound if we were to move closer towards a trade deal. And on that side of things, the kind of latest reports are suggesting that the EU and UK are kind of moving closer to a trade deal, which could be potentially reached in the next couple of weeks. So that's a potential kind of positive development to look out for the pound. But as we've been saying, it's becoming more and more difficult for the pound to rally from here if the UK economy is suffering another negative shock from the lockdown.
And what are the key event risks in the week ahead, Lee?
Well, the main event risk is obviously tomorrow's US election. I think that's going to be very important in determining the performance of the dollar in the near term. Like I said earlier, it's been advancing in recent weeks because of the negative developments overseas have made the dollar look relatively more attractive again. But there is obviously the US election outcome could certainly determine whether this advance for the dollar can extend further. Just looking at the polls that we've seen released over the weekend, those don't appear to have really kind of materially altered market expectations over the outcome from the US election. Polls are still kind of generally showing at the kind of national level and also in the key swing states that Joe Biden is still seen as kind of a comfortable favorite to become the next president. Although kind of key pollsters would still kind of highlight that Donald Trump still has a kind of narrow path to a potential victory. So you can't completely rule out the possibility that he's re-elected. Like that, it certainly would be a surprise for markets, but it's certainly within the realms of possibilities. In terms of kind of the outcomes from the election, I think perhaps the market would generally see a blue wave where the Democrats also take control of the Senate. That would be seen as probably the most favorable outcome for financial markets, at least in the near term. That would trigger further optimism over the likelihood of a bigger fiscal stimulus package being delivered in the US early next year. And on top of that as well, the markets would generally expect to see an improvement going forward in global trading relations. And that in itself could provide a further boost for Asian emerging market and commodity related currencies in particular. While at the same time, I think if that outcome did materialize, I think it would certainly help to prevent the dollar from moving higher against other major currencies as well. Like normally, if you're talking about a bigger fiscal stimulus, that would generally be positive for a domestic currency like the dollar. But I think on this occasion, we're kind of making the assumption that the Fed will respond to this stimulus by stepping up their own quantitative easing program. The message from the Fed has been quite clear that they want to try and put a dampener on yields going forward to try and keep loose policy in place for much longer into the recovery. So if the Fed is able to kind of back up those words and steps up the quantitative easing next year, then we think that will help to keep the dollar on the weaker side of things as we go into next year. I guess the other alternative scenarios obviously are if Biden fails to win the presidency. I think the potential there would obviously be for the dollar to strengthen quite sharply initially if Trump was to be re-elected. We've been saying potentially that the dollar could rally by 2-3% if Trump holds on to the presidency. And there are also other alternative scenarios which perhaps would be more dollar supportive as well. Obviously, even if Biden was to become president, if the Republicans were to keep control of the Senate, so that we have a divided Congress, that would be seen as kind of less supportive for risk assets. There would be certainly more I guess, more hurdles potentially to pass fiscal stimulus going forward in a divided Congress. And certainly as well, the kind of other alternative outcome, which could create more volatility in markets as well, would be if the outcome from the election was particularly close, and that there was a kind of contested election outcome, which could draw on for weeks and potentially months. That uncertainty would be obviously unwelcome, I think, for financial markets more broadly, and the kind of risk-off tone, I think, generally would probably be seen as more dollar positive, even though it would be generally kind of a kind of US kind of negative outcome. So those are the kind of things that we're looking for. There's certainly the potential there for markets to move quite a lot in the week ahead, given all that's going on in terms of the US election, COVID risks, and also the Fed meeting as well.
All right. Thanks very much for your insight, Lee. Have a good week and speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for further information. Check back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.